Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. To you, O Lord, I offer my prayer. In you, my God, I trust. Save me from the shame of defeat. Don't let my enemies gloat over me. Defeat does not come to those who trust in you, but to those who are quick to rebel against you. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Make them known to me. Teach me to live according to your truth, for you are my God who saves me. I always trust in you. Remember, O Lord, your kindness and constant love which you have shown from long ago. Forgive the sins and errors of my youth. In your constant love and goodness, remember me, Lord. Because the Lord is righteous and good, he teaches sinners the path they should follow. He leads the humble in the right way and teaches them his will. With faithfulness and love, he leads all who keep his covenant and obey his commands.
The second reading comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this: Father, may your holy name be honoured. May your kingdom come. Give us day by day the food we need. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who does us wrong. And do not bring us to hard testing." And Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you should go to a friend's house at midnight and say, 'Friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine who is on a journey has just come to my house and I haven't got any food for him.' And suppose your friend should answer from inside, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' Well, what then? I tell you that even if he will not get up and give you the bread because you are his friend, yet he will get up and give you everything you need because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. And so I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For those who ask will receive, and those who seek will find, and the door will be open to anyone who knocks. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for fish? Or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? Bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your written word and for the many truths that it contains that speak into our lives. We pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive your message for our lives again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this evening we are continuing with our series on stories with intent, as we look at some of the stories that Jesus told and the purpose for them. You know, Jesus loved parables and used parables to communicate his message. And parables are basically stories with intent. And in this series, we want to understand the intent of Jesus. As he told the story, he didn't just want to reveal the truth, but he wanted people also to reflect and to respond. So in this series, we want to ask the question for ourselves: what actions does Jesus want us to take as a result of hearing this story? This evening's parable, this story with intent, is all about prayer. And in fact, our reading this evening started with Jesus in prayer. And Luke is concerned to show the importance of prayer. And Luke refers to Jesus praying on a number of occasions throughout his gospel. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, for instance, straight after Jesus has been baptized, he prays to God, and the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we see that Jesus again is praying before making the big decision of choosing his disciples. And then in Luke chapter 9, verse 18, when he asks the disciples the important question, "Who do you say I am?" we find that he's been in prayer before he asks. And then in Luke 22, verse 39 onwards, in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he's arrested, Jesus goes to pray and encourages his disciples to do the same. Jesus' praying is a thread that runs throughout the Gospel of Luke to show the disciples and us the importance of prayer and how it connects us with God's plan and his purposes for our lives and for the world. So, Jesus has been praying, something we know that he did often. And the disciples have witnessed this on a number of occasions. And in our story, they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. But interestingly, they do not ask him to teach them to pray as he does. Rather, they want Jesus to teach them to pray just as John taught his disciples. And I wonder why that is. I wonder perhaps if they felt they were missing out. Maybe they had seen John and his lot all in prayer and they'd seen John's disciples praying. And maybe they wanted some of that for themselves. But maybe that's a sermon for another time. Jesus does teach his disciples to pray. And using the words that we've adapted and called the Lord's Prayer, he teaches them. It's a short prayer. It's to the point. It's just four sentences long. But those four sentences pack a lot in it. Firstly, we see that Jesus gives glory to God. He says, "Our Father, may your name be honoured." Right at the beginning, Jesus is giving glory to God. But then he moves very quickly, and some would say maybe too quickly to be good. He moves quickly to his petitions, his wish list, if you like. There's no flowery language here. There's no skirting around the issues to build up to something, maybe a little bit too afraid to say, maybe like a child that's too scared to ask or admit. He comes straight out with what he wants. Now, those of you that know me and those of you that have to work with me, apparently, when I need something, I kind of walk up to people and say, "Lisa, Matt, Leslie, Sue, Nikki, Dan." Apparently, it's fairly obvious that I'm after something. And maybe I'm a little bit working around the issue before I get to say, Sue's laughing, so it must be true, before I get to say what it is that I'm really wanting. But Jesus isn't like that, and Jesus doesn't want us to pray like that. He wants us to come straight out with it. And so Jesus, in his petition to God, says, "Give us." Then he says, "Forgive us, lead us, and deliver us." And in this short prayer, Jesus teaches us to give glory to God. He teaches us that we are dependent on God. He teaches us that we are guilty before God. And he teaches us that we are lost and vulnerable without God. Prayer for Jesus is not about wasting time with fluffy words or nice phrases. It's about recognising our need for God and opening ourselves up to him. We are to pray with honesty and with purpose. And this has parallels to Matthew chapter 6, and it's Matthew's account of Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. And in Matthew's account, Jesus talks about hypocrites and long prayers. And Jesus is saying there that there is no need for long, wordy prayers. Make them short and to the point. And make them say what you mean. Prayer is not flowery, long-winded, circumnavigating the requests until we think we've said all the right things. Prayer is to be a simple acknowledgement of who God is, what he has done and continues to do for us, and then our shameless request for his help. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray with meaning, to pray for what they need. And the key point of this section is that Jesus wants his followers to pray without shame. That's the whole point of the parable of the friend at midnight. The parable taps into the honour-shame culture of the Middle East, and I want to explore that this evening. Now, the parable of the friend at midnight is often a parable used to talk about persistent prayer. And we're told that this is the right way to think about this parable. Our emphasis is not so much on the friend outside who's nagging, but on the reaction of the man inside. That because of the man's persistent nagging outside and the desire for a quiet life, the guy asleep will get up and give what is being asked for. But this idea, this interpretation, pays little notice to the culture of the day. This is not a parable about how the man will get up and give. You see, there was an obligation to help a traveller and to help friends in need, so that when somebody came knocking on your door, day or night, you would bring shame on yourself to refuse to help them. So the man in his parable took a bit of convincing, took a bit of waking up from his sleep, but he would have got up and he would give what the man needed for fear of the shame that he would heap on himself, the shame that he would bring onto his family, the shame maybe that would be brought upon the village or the community because of his lack of hospitality and care. So if we interpret the parable as being about persistence, then we're actually demeaning God. Because if this is a parable about God, then I think we've got it wrong. Because what kind of God is it that demands that his people keep nagging? What kind of a God is it that will give in if we pester long enough? As if we can wear him down and get him to change his minds because of our nagging. What kind of God do we think we follow? That we think that if we pray enough, if we repeat ourselves enough, go on about something long enough, then eventually we will wear God down and we will get what we ask for. If we look at the parable in this way, we end up dressing our thinking up with phrases like, we are called to be earnest in our prayers, or God likes our faithfulness. Well, yeah, he does to both of those. But I think if we're not careful, we're in danger of missing the point of this parable altogether. You see, this parable is not a parable about persistence. It's about shamelessness. This is a parable about the unashamed way that the man is asking for help. The man outside asking for help. There's an urgency and a need in the way that this man asks. And there's a willingness to act in a way that to others would seem shameful, just to get what is needed. He's banging on the door almost. He's calling out. He's not giving up. He's prepared to make himself look a fool in the middle of the night to get what he needs. The man's not interested in how he is seen by the world. He is interested in getting what he needs. So the man inside hears the petitions and he will respond, if for no other reason than not to be shamed. This is the same for us. We must put aside our sense of shame and humble ourselves before God. We should ask for what we need. We should be earnest and urgent in our requests. And God will respond. Not out of a sense of shame or honour, like the man in the house, but out of love for his people. As Jesus goes on in his story, he encourages his disciples to ask, seek, knock, and know that God will respond. Jesus is using this parable not to compare God as like the man in the house, but rather to contrast God to the man in the house. In verse 13, Luke says, "How much more then? How much more then?" If parents respond to children in the right way, if the man will respond to his friend in the right way, out of a sense of duty and obligation, how much more then will God respond to his people when they ask him? This parable is not about persistence. This is a parable about praying without fear and shame to a God who listens and understands and is ready to respond to our prayers. What does this passage and this parable teach us then? What is the intent behind the story? Well, firstly, it tells us that prayer is important. We realise that Jesus prayed, that Jesus prayed a lot. Jesus prayed to his Father for the things he needed. He prayed to his Father about the things that were happening around him. Jesus prayed to his Father before key decisions needed to be made and before key moments in his life. When Jesus prayed, he didn't dress it up with long words or poetic phrases. He said it as it was. When he taught his disciples to pray, he taught them and us to be clear and concise. He taught them and us to pray with purpose. He taught that prayer was more than just the words that are said. It is about giving ourselves totally over to God and his plans. Prayer is important in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So important that we need to look again at the way we pray. Let's not get caught up in the language of prayer, but rather get caught up in the action of prayer, in getting connected with the Creator God. Secondly, this parable teaches us not to be ashamed to ask of God. Like the man in the story, we should not be ashamed to ask of God. We have nothing to be afraid of. We should know that we can go to God at any time and bring any request to him. We should approach him in full abandon. That is totally open to him and to his spirit. Willing to allow him to work in us and through us. Do not hold back your requests. God can take care of it. Thirdly, we see that God hears you and he will respond. If man will get up to help to save themselves from shame, how much more will God help his people who call out to him? God is listening out for us. He is waiting for us to call to him. God is not asleep. He doesn't need to be roused before he will act. God will not help us because he would feel shamed if he didn't. God chooses to help us and respond to us because he can and because he loves us deeply. The parable teaches us not the need to be persistent in our prayers, but rather the certainty of God who hears our prayers and responds. It teaches us that we can call out to God in confidence and know that we are heard. It teaches us to pray without fear to a God who loves us. It teaches us to pray as Jesus prayed to our Father in heaven. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this parable, this story with intent that we've looked together at this evening. We thank you for the promises that this story holds for each one of us. Promises that you love us. Promises that you want what's best for us. That you're looking out for us. That you're not asleep, but you're ready to act and care and reach out to us when we call to you. Father, help us not to be ashamed, but to reach out to you in confidence. Father, help our prayers not to be prayers just of words, trying to say the right things at the right time. But help our prayers to be an expression of our love for you and our desire to serve you and of our need for you in all that we say and do. Father, thank you for the way that you are at work in our life and the promises that you make to be there for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.